It's time again for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. Glad to be with you here today in the studio. Well, welcome to today's episode of the Coaching Perspective. I'm your host, Doug Gefeller. Our topic for today is strategic storytelling that drives client actions. So we're going to start right off with a story. It was Tuesday morning and time for my monthly executive peer group meeting, a tech group. I don't remember who the guest speaker was that morning because I was so excited about making my presentation in the afternoon session that was all I could think about. For the last 6 months, I had been sharing with the group my plan to double the size of the company. This meant going from sales of about $50 million a year to $100 million, and from 40 employees to almost 100. I say my plan, but really what was driving this was my financial partners, the banks, and my employees. Our past successes in the strong real estate market had everyone pushing me to grow. Well, I made my presentation. The whole group was there, all 12 members. And when I finished the presentation, the group congratulated me and encouraged me to take action to put this growth plan into motion immediately. That is, the group congratulated me with the exception of one person sitting in the back of the room. He wasn't really disagreeing with the rest of the group, but instead he was more curious about my reasons for doing this. I'm ashamed to say that I don't remember his name, but I'll never forget what he said to me that afternoon. Doug, you've been in our group for 7 years now, and I have two questions for you to think about before you move forward. Haven't you told us how much you enjoy training and teaching new employees? In fact, even finding them jobs with your competitors when you have no place for them to move up? Well, Doug, how much time are you going to have to continue to do this when you double the size of the company? Second question. Haven't you told us how much you enjoy the design process, working with architects, land planners, and decorators? Well, Doug, how much time are you going to continue to do this when you double the size of the company? My head went bang. I hadn't thought of either one of those points. My focus had been on the financial numbers. Well, the meeting ended. I went home more confused than I had been when I got there. These questions forced me to focus on what I really wanted out of my business, what I wanted, not what everyone else wanted for me. And the next day, as I walked through the new 20,000 square foot office space that we were planning to move into, in fact, the lease was sitting on my desk to sign, I realized that all of this was not going to make me any happier. So I called my staff together to tell them that when they finished the projects they were working on, they would have to find new jobs. And I backed out of the office expansion. As this was going on, I never even suspected that a recession, a real estate recession, was coming, and my move to not grow was the best strategy anybody could have possibly developed for dealing with it. But the real impact of this story was not avoiding the negative impact of a real estate recession. It was the questions that the one guy in the back of the room asked me. And over the months that followed, I often thought back to the impact that his questions had on me. And when I decided to get out of the real estate business and look at my career choices, it was that event that caused me to become a coach. I wanted a career where I could have the same kind of impact on other people's lives that he had on me. End of story. Okay, why did we start out with a story? Have I used this story in business? Yes. Have I used it to convince people to join a peer group? Yes. Have I used it to demonstrate what coaching is? Yes. Have I used it to illustrate the power of questions over advice? Yes. This is not a perfect story, but it's my story and my emotions. So, Let's take a look today at what makes a good story. I want to acknowledge the book, the title of which is TED Talks Storytelling, by, I'll have to spell it because I can't say it, A-K-A-S-H is his first name, Akash Kariya, K-A-R-I-A. You know, I've been telling this story that I just told you for many years, but I have to confess that when I read this book, and as I prepared for this radio show, I had to go back and rewrite the story, because I found there were a lot of things that I wasn't taking advantage of. One of the key things is that, you know, we think of stories as something that's written. We think of it as a book. But that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about that ancient art of verbal storytelling. And that's what we do all day long as business people. We tell people stories. We tell them stories to entertain. We tell them stories to illustrate points. We tell them stories to get them interested in our product or services. We tell them stories to explain what it is we do. What is coaching? You know, we've had some guests on the show. We've had some talks recently about, you know, what is coaching? How do you explain it? You explain it with a story. So let me cover some of the key points that Akash has in his book, TED Talks Storytelling. His first point is make it personal. You know, the temptation is you think of a story that you need for your business. The temptation is to think that, you know, your own personal story is just not as good as someone else's. I mean, my life hasn't been that exciting. But what we're striving for here is a personal story because it carries personal emotions and lessons. You can't communicate those emotions with someone else's story. As soon as you start to tell your own story, your brain brings up all the emotions that were there the first time this event ever happened, and we want that to come out in the storytelling. As I shared with you this story about the meeting I went into that Tuesday morning to present to the group, I still get goosebumps over all the preparation that went into that, about the anxiety I had, about how I hoped that the group was going to support my plan, and I can still feel the huge question, disappointment in my mind when that guy in the back of the room questioned it. Questioned questions that I should have thought of myself. And every time I tell this story, some of that emotion comes through. And people realize this is a real story. This is something that really happened. Listen to this. It isn't made up. You know, one thing that all good stories have in common is that they all create conflict. Conflict creates emotions and a suspense about the ending. You know, it's like a mystery novel. What would be a mystery novel if there wasn't a good guy and a bad guy? If there wasn't a doubt about who did it and about how it's going to end up? You know, what is even better is if there's a surprise in how the conflict or the ending turns out. In my story, the conflict was doing what everyone thought was the right thing, grow the company. But that wasn't what I wanted. And I didn't even realize there was a conflict until it was pointed out to me. Also in the story I just shared with you, the ending isn't about how the company handled the growth. I mean, as I told the story, you're kind of wondering, okay, what did you do? What did you do instead of growing? But that isn't what the issue was about. The issue was, what did I want to do for a living? And that took months to kind of reveal itself. Conflict, suspense, emotions. The other thing that makes a really good story is details. You have to have details in a story. And I thought this was a really good point that Krish made. You need to use dialogue, not narration. And you need to show rather than tell. So let me explain a little bit. I want to deal with all three of those together because I think they sort of build on one another. If you're telling a story and being the narrator, there is a tendency to gloss over the details to get to the important points. Let me give you a personal example. I read 3 to 4 books a week, mostly fiction. Sometimes I find myself right at the good point in the story, just when things are really going to start happening, and wouldn't you know it, it's late at night and I'm getting too tired to keep reading, but I don't want to quit before I find out what's going to happen. So what do? I start to skip over the sentences or the paragraphs that are describing the scene or the character, and I'm speed reading to rush to the parts on the page that are going to tell me the results. Did they break in? Did he kill him? Did he get away? Where's the action statements? But when I do this, I find out that the action that I, when I get to it, is always disappointing. Why is that? It's because I've missed the buildup. Without the details, without the words that paint a picture that show me what is happening, the action falls flat. You know, we've all gone to see movies that were made from books that we were read, and we loved the books and found we were disappointed in the movie. Why? Because the movie picture is different than the picture that was painted for us by the book author. The same is true when we're telling a story. If we can't paint the picture, then the listener has only the facts to hang on to, and that's not enough to motivate any action. We don't want to tell the story. We want to narrate it. I tried to, in the short story I started today's show with, I tried to give some dialogue. What I didn't tell you what the other person said. I said, this is what he did. I tried to use his voice, his questions as he posed them, to add him to the story, to make it more action-oriented rather than just telling. I wanted to show you what was going on. Now, one of the tips for really great storytelling that I personally find the most difficult to deal with is the one that says you should use as many of our senses as possible in your storytelling. This means you want to let the listener know what can they see, what can they hear, what can they feel, either physically or emotionally, maybe even what could they smell. You know, that's a tough one for me. I don't know how to weave that into, for instance, the story I just told, but it's something that as I've gone back and looked at the stories that people have told me that I remember, those were stories that they created a story that was so real that I could feel the place. I could feel the weather. I could feel the anxiety of the person who was telling me the story. I could feel the pain that they were going through. So we want to look and see how can we convey as many of those senses in our storytelling as possible. We want to use short descriptions but specific details about places and dates. Now, remember, we're not writing a novel here. We're making a verbal sales pitch. We don't want the listener to lose track of what our key point is in telling the story, but we want to make it real enough to believe. The advantage of sharing details is that the details from your story may bring up emotions from the listener's past stories that will add to the storytelling. So if I'm telling you a story about, you know, I had this boat and we were sailing to Catalina and the fog came in and it was so thick and all of a sudden everything was wet and dripping and we couldn't tell what direction sounds were coming from. If you've ever been in a boat in the fog like that, as I'm telling that story, your mind automatically goes back and you start to add other details I didn't talk about. You may start to see the color of the fog. You may start to see how it affected your vision. Things I didn't mention but are part of your background when we mention what the fog looked like. So you want to, you know, don't turn it into a novel, but you want to get specific about things. If I want to talk about the place, you know, it would have been better if I'd been able to talk about what this conference room was like when I walked in. It was packed with 12 guys. Everybody was looking to see what I had to say. I was standing at the front of the room. I was nervous about it, but I didn't go into that level of detail. Should have done that. positive messages or positive message stories are inspiring. We want to leave people on an emotional high, and we want to leave them with some takeaways. If we're using stories here, what I'm talking about is using verbal stories to explain to a potential customer or client why they should buy your services or what your services are. You don't want to talk about what they aren't. We talked about this when we talked about people explaining coaching by saying what it isn't. The bottom line here is we're looking for a story that, while it may have some conflict and suspense, it's going to have a positive outcome. We want to leave the listener on a high with a positive message about our product or services, and we want that message that they take away to be really, really clear. You know, the story I started the show with, if I was talking to you about coaching, I would, after telling you that story, I'd go, you know, that's what turned me on to coaching. The impact that that guy had on my life by just asking me two simple questions. I've had people give me all kinds of advice, most of which I never took, some of which I took and wasn't any good, some of which maybe I took and I don't remember that it was their advice and not my idea. But I will never forget the impact that those two simple little questions had on my life. That's what coaching is all about. Coaching is about learning enough about the client and their situation that at the right point, you can reveal the question that's going to allow them to look at the problem from a whole different point of view that they never would have seen before. That's the inspiring, positive message that you want your story to be left with. You know, I'm not a professional storyteller. I'm not a professional writer, so I'm not going to go into a lot more detail on it. But let me just sort of wrap up here with this. Does this sound like a lot of work? Well, it is, and it's worth it. Think about this. If I asked you to give a TED Talk next week that was going to be in front of an audience of 200 people and recorded live, how much time and effort would you put into preparing? 20 minutes? 2 days? All the time you had available between now and next week? Well, what we're talking about today in this verbal storytelling here is the basic story that you're going to end up telling every single time you have a new potential customer or every single time someone asks you what you do for a living. Is this going to happen more than 200 times? You bet. Are you prepared? Is your story memorable? Will your story drive your client or prospects to action? If any of your answers were no to these questions, then you have a lot of work to do. Think about the story that you want to tell. Write it out. Compare it to the points we just talked about. Think about how you can make small changes in the story that will make it more personal for different kinds of people, groups, or situations. Practice telling the story. Get feedback from someone you trust, and then practice some more. Short show today. Those were short questions in my life, but they changed it completely. I hope that the short show here today isn't going to be a sign of the value proposition that we're talking about, but is a sign of the fact that storytelling is important, storytelling is essential. If you're a coach and people are asking you, what does a coach do? I hope you have a great personal story that you can tell to answer that question. A story that has conflict and suspense, has emotions, has detail. A story that you show to me, not tell to me, not lecture to me. We're not talking about lecturing here. We're talking about storytelling. We're talking about that stuff that parents sit at the end of the bed and do with their children that the children never forget and they listen to every word. That's what you want to do with your potential clients. Well, look, if you're listening to our podcast, then thank you for visiting our website, The Coaching Perspective, and be sure to check out our archives for other shows with some great guests. And speaking of guests, if you'd like to be in the show, we're always looking for coaches, CEOs, and HR professionals to interview. Just send me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com. Well, this is Doug Gefeller. I hope that you've enjoyed the short story today and that it has provided you with some new ideas and information that you can put to use immediately to identify and achieve your goals. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.